like me, but you know. I could probably do this without it, but I guess we're recording it, so there we have it. Good morning, ladies. Let's pray first off, because I have no idea how I'm going to start. And I've been talking to the Lord about this on what we're supposed to do, so I'm just going to open my mouth, and we'll see what he does, okay? And Lord, we do come before your throne, Father God, and I just pray, Lord, that you would just empty me out, Lord, and that you would fill me afresh, Lord, that every word that comes from my mouth comes straight from your heart, Lord, because I have nothing to say, Lord, but you have so much to say to my sisters. I pray, Father God, that they would have hearts to receive, and Lord, that you would be the one who's glorified and lifted up. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you, and it is in your sweet, precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this message kind of came a few months ago. I was having lunch with one of my dear sisters, and she's been on a healing journey for a while. And so we were talking about how that healing journey was going. And, you know, she said her counselor told her that she's in the way. She's the problem. So it had me thinking about a verse. For those of you who don't know, I serve the Lord with Caring Choices, and I do the PACE course, which helps women who have had abortions heal from their abortions. And the Night of Honor, these ladies have gone through eight weeks of looking at anger, of looking at despair, looking at depression, looking at their abortion wound. These women have, and I know because I had an abortion and I carried this for a lot of years, these women come to us broken. They've had a lifetime of carrying and clothing themselves with guilt, shame, discouragement. I felt like I was a loser. I was a murderer. I killed a child. How horrible am I? So we help these women through God's word come to a place where they can honor these babies, because no one honors these aborted babies. It's called the Night of Honor. And we name these children and we give them back to the Lord. We celebrate with taking his supper and remembering what our Savior did for us. But then we give these ladies these verses. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will make a road in the wilderness and streams in the desert. See, these women have been healed. It's their choice whether they're going to receive the healing that our Father, our Savior, wanted to pour upon us. Most of them walk away with that victory, with that healing. Some women cannot let go of the guilt and the shame. It breaks my heart when I see them walk out, and I know that they didn't receive all. They received healing, but they didn't receive it all. They're going to look back on what they've done and carry that forward. So, talking to my friend, I had to look at myself. I'm like, Lord, is there anything else that I'm holding on to, that I'm looking back, that you've delivered me from, and I haven't received that total healing? And of course, he's so sweet. He brings it to my remembrance. You know, a lot of things that I struggle with, being picked on my whole life, is this outer tent. I know that's not who I am, but it comes back. And one day I was getting ready for church, and I had to change my outfit 10 times because I couldn't feel comfortable. And I know, okay, Lord, obviously I'm still in that place. So let's take this off. I'm going to take off the old man, and I'm going to put on the new man. You see, I am a believer in Jesus Christ. And that means once I've given my life to Christ, I'm now a new creature. I am a new being. Old things have been passed away. I can now walk in the newness of life that Christ has given to me. Am I going to choose to do so? And see, God is so good, and he does so many mighty things. But we choose whether we're going to walk down that path or not. Our sweet sister Dorothy, a few breakfasts ago, did a beautiful message on peace, about choosing peace. Now, we all know the peace of God that passes all understanding, that he will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is staying on him and you trust in him. See, we can have all that when we choose to accept it. Ladies, what are you clothing yourselves with today? Are you clothing yourself with some of those former things, looking back on who you used to be and not letting that person go? You see, Jesus doesn't want you to do that. In Hebrews 12:15, it says, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. See, a root of bitterness isn't always just the anger. A root of bitterness can be a stronghold that's hanging onto our hearts. When we look back on who we used to be, God's already delivered you from that. Are you going to walk in it? You don't want to defile yourself. I know none of us consciously want to say, oh yeah, I'm going to defile myself today. Yay. No, we don't. We don't want to defile ourselves or anyone around us. You know, it breaks my heart. I have some sisters in the Lord I haven't seen in many, many years. But they have this root of bitterness upon them. They can't let go of the former things. When I see them, we go back to 30 years ago on what happened to them. They can't walk forward. They can't forgive. They can't let it go. See, they think they've draped themselves so much in their pain and their suffering that they can't even see the beauty that God wants to create in them. Ladies, it's our choice to let these things down. Yeah, do we struggle in our lives? Absolutely. We run into trials all the time. Some of us are just coming out of us. Some of us are just going in, and some of us are in the midst of it right now. But that's not who you are. We're not the trials of our lives. See, God uses these trials to build our faith. The word is clear. He says that God has given each one of us a measure of faith. When we're created, when we're born, we're all born with a measure of faith. But as we go through our walks with the Lord, he does things in us. Trials sometimes help to show us some things that he needs to go get out of us. We have to go through the refiner's fire so we can be more like Jesus. Sometimes God tests us. We go through a trial just to show us how much our faith has grown. Sometimes we go through a trial that's not for us at all. God says that in Corinthians that he comforts us so we can go out and comfort others with the comfort he has given to us. So sometimes something we go through that's painful and hard isn't for us at all, but God's going to bring a sister into our life one day and we're going to say, hey, look it, I've been there. I know what you're going through, and this is what my God has done in my life. We're not meant to be our trials. We're not meant to be those pains. We need to just cast it upon our Lord because he cares for us. He says, cast your burdens upon me. My burden is easy. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You see, we're to work out our salvation with fear and troubling. That's what a lot of it is. When we first come to know the Lord, I mean, I always call it, I remember when I first came to know the Lord back in 2002. I mean, there was this little bubble around me. Everything I prayed for, God was right there. He was increasing my faith. I couldn't get enough of the word. Every single verse poured off and jumped up on me. I was working out my salvation. I was becoming stronger in the things of the Lord. So how are we supposed to not look back and remember the things, the former things, or to consider the things of old? How are we going to let those things down and move forward? Well, the one thing that I know that is all truth is the Word of God. So let's take a look at what the Word of God says. It says that we are in Romans that we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So every morning when you get up, are we putting on Christ? Are we putting on the new man that God is doing in us? Are we forgetting the things of the old? The old man is gone. We already have victory in that, ladies. We need to put on the new man every single day. In Ephesians, it tells us to put on the full armor of God so we can stand. Because you know what? The enemy is not going to be happy that you're walking in the newness of life. He's going to try to bring back these things to remembrance. That's why we need to put on the full armor to guard our minds, the shield of faith, the sword of the word of God, the belt of truth, the shoes that have the gospel. I forgot the verse, but that's okay. You guys know it. Look, it's in Ephesians 11. Thank you. 6:11, I saw. Thank you, my sister. Also in Corinthians 10:5, 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, bringing every thought into the obedience of Jesus Christ. We're not supposed to think about those old things. We're supposed to bring our thoughts into the obedience of the Lord and ask him. In Philippians, it says that you're supposed to think on those things that are true and lovely and of a true good report. Maybe the truth is we used to be this thing, but the truth today is we're not. Bring it against the word of God and see if it measures up. We need to walk in the newness of life. We need to accept the things that God wants to do. We need to choose that we're going to put on the new man and walk in the victory of life. Because Jesus came, he says, he came to give us life and that more abundantly. He doesn't want us to walk around downtrodden, thinking of who we weren't once were. I mean, I have a whole list of things that I could walk around with and be discouraged and grumpy about, but I'm the daughter of the Most High King, and so are you. And we're going to walk in that newness of life. I want to live an abundant life. I don't know about you ladies. I want more joy, more love, more peace, more contentment, but you can only get those things for the Lord. It's not earthly possessions that he wants to give us more of. Yes, he can if he chooses to. But if he doesn't, I don't know about you, but I'm always happy when the joy just like is bursting out of me and I can't contain it. That's abundant life. I know who I am in my Father, and I'm going to walk in those ways. The next verse says, behold, I will do a new thing. Shall you not know it? God wants to do a new thing. But let me ask you, do you put conditions on that new thing he wants to do in your life? God is so good. I was sitting here reading my Bible last week, and I'm in the Old Testament right now. I love the Old Testament. But I was reading in 2 Kings 5, and I came across Naaman's story. Just as God was working this message in my heart. And see, he was the captain of the guard, and he had leprosy. And so, you know, being the captain of the guard of the army, you know, he's a really strong man and stuff like that. Well, his wife had a little girl, a servant who from Israel, and she told her, she goes, I wish my master would go see the prophet Elisha, and he would help him to get over the leprosy, which there is really no cure for it. So his wife talks to him and says, okay, I'm going to go. He talks to his king. He sends a note to the king of Israel, and so off he goes. So he goes to Elisha's house, and Elisha is a prophet of God, so he knows. So he sends a servant out to Naaman, and he said, look it, what I want you to do is Elisha's talked to God, and what you're going to do is you're going to go to the Jordan River, and you're going to dunk yourself 7 times, and then you're going to be healed. Well, the captain of the army, a servant came out. Well, he just about blew a gasket. He was infuriated. He's like, I can't believe that Elijah can't even come out and tell me himself and go and jump in the Jordan River. Back in Egypt, there's bigger and better rivers. Why can't I go do that? Well, thankfully, Naaman had a couple of servants that had a little bit more fortitude than he did. And he said, hey, look it. If Elijah came out and told you to do this big, huge, grand thing and wave his hands all over you and make a big spectacle of it, wouldn't you accept that and do it? This is something simple. Why can't you just go and quietly do this? So Naaman decided, I'm going to do that. So he went to the Jordan, dunked himself 7 times, came up, and he was completely healed. And I'm going to just speak for myself at this point. I don't know if you ladies do this, but sometimes I want God to do this big, huge, grand gesture. I have this whole thing worked out in my mind. God, you know, to get me out of this trial, I think if you do this huge thing, we're going to be good. And then it doesn't happen that way. It happens sweetly, quietly, peacefully. And I stand back and I'm like, whoa. Do we put God in a box because we want him to do things the way we want him to do it and not in that sweet, gentlemanly, quiet way that he wants to? Are we preventing God from doing a new thing in our lives because it's not happening the way we want to? Is God more than capable of blowing the socks off of us and doing these huge things? Yes, he is. He can do anything. He is the creator of the universe. But it's that still, small voice. In Psalm 46, it says, be still and know that I'm God. It's in that stillness, in that quietness, is when God really meets us exactly where we're at. You know, he can, in the dismay, in the anxiety, he can come in like a flood and warm us and do that mighty work. But I have found in my walk that it's when I'm quiet and I sit peacefully before him and seek his will, he's going to do a good work. He's going to do it in the quiet. You know, I love the story of Elijah when God shows him himself. You know, Elijah just went out and defeated the 400 Baal priests, right? And then here comes little Jezebel, threatens his life. He's scared. He runs on off, and he's hiding out by the river, and God's feeding him and giving him water, and Elijah's feeling discouraged and downtrodden. He's like, I'm the only one. How am I going to get through this? God shows up, and I'm going to read this to you because I don't want to mess it up. In 1 Kings 19, 11 and 12, then God said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. See, Elijah needed God to encourage him, but he encouraged him in that still, small voice. We're to listen to it and accept it for what God wants to do in and through our lives. Are we doing that? Are we listening and sitting and allowing God to whisper those still, small voices? And take that step of faith. See, it relies on us. God can do everything, but he doesn't want puppets. We have a will. He wants us to take him. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to take a step of faith. He's already done the work. I love Ezekiel 36, 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. See, God's already done that work. We've accepted him. He's already cleaned us up. See, we're clothed in Jesus' righteousness when we accept Christ. We need to walk in it because God wants to make a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert for each and every one of us. But we need to choose. Are we putting on the old man? Are we still draping ourselves in the things that happened to us in the past? Or are we going to live in victory? See, God is so good. I was doing my devotionals the other day, And the Lord just gave me, this is a really cool, it's called He Whispers Your Name, and they have little topics, and so I do devotions on a topic for 3 or 4 days, and then we move on to something else. I think this one is overcoming obstacles. And so I want to read this to you. Rising above the obstacles. The mountains in your life cause you to face a choice, to be overwhelmed or enthusiastic. And that choice will either keep you from moving forward in faith or take you to the top of the mountain you face. I know it seems easier just to give up and give in, but you can't. And don't be deceived, you can be completely centered in my will and still face enormous obstacles. Oftentimes, as you're moving in the right direction in your faith, challenges seem endless. This is because you have an enemy, and he opposes you when he sees me at work in and through your life. So don't become disillusioned just because you encountered mountains of opposition. Simply look up and be assured of my presence and power that overcomes all obstacles to my will for you. Respond in faith, remembering that I can move mountains, but the mountain I really want to move is the one within you, the mountain of doubt that keeps you from moving forward in faith. You alone can move that mountain by simply believing that I will move all the others in your life. Isaiah 40, 4 through 5. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Ladies, is there a mountain in your heart right now? Lay it down. He wants to do a new work in you. He doesn't want you to look in the old. He wants you to move forward with him. He wants to do an amazing thing in and through your life. I love the book of Revelation, and there's a verse that I hang on to a lot. It's Revelation 2:17. It says, He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. I'm an overcomer. Ladies, are you overcomers? You want your white stone? Jesus is going to give it to you. I forget a lot about the Word of God, so I need little things to always remind me. I always wear this necklace around my heart, and one is a key, and it always reminds me I have the key to my husband's heart. The second is one of my favorite verses, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on his own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways, and he shall direct your path. The other little thing on here is a white stone. Because I get bogged down with my troubles sometimes, ladies, and I have to remind myself, I am an overcomer. I am going to get a new name. It's going to be a character of my Savior. Only he and I know it. I don't know what it is yet. I'm really excited to find out what it is. Hopefully he's not crazy, lady, but, you know, God's not crazy, so I'm pretty sure I'm going to be good. So I just want to, and I brought a little box, and sometimes at the end of the PACE course, I give the ladies a white stone to remind themselves that they're overcomers. That with Jesus, we've overcome. He has overcome the world, and we are his daughters, so we are overcomers as well. So please come up after and take a white stone. Help yourself to, if you know somebody that needs encouragement, I have a whole box of them. Please come up and take them. So I guess that's all the Lord had for me to share, so I'm going to pray. And Lord, we do come before your throne, Father God, and I pray for my sisters right now, Lord. I pray for any of them who has the mountain in their hearts right now of doubt or discouragement, Lord God. Please, Father God, help them to lay it down today, Lord God, and to put on Christ, to put on the new man, to walk in the newness of life that you've given to each and every one of us, Lord God. We are overcomers, Father God, because of you, not because of ourselves, Lord God. We're filthy rags, Lord God, but you are our all in all. You are our portion, Lord God. Help us to remember, Father God, that we always overcome, Father God, because of you, Lord God. Help us to rest in your everlasting arms today, Lord God, and help us to just lay those things down at your feet, Lord God, knowing that you will work things out, Lord God. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you, Lord God. And it is in your sweet, precious name we pray. Amen.